be magnified, O God, tonight. We pray that as you bless us, may our hearts truly assume postures of worship, that you will forever be exalted, magnified in our hearts and in our lives. Tonight, as always, do us good by your word and be glorified. For it is in Jesus' matchless, marvelous name we pray. Amen. Walk to two or three people and tell them good evening. It's good to see you in church. Good evening. It's good to see you in the house of God. You may be gloriously seated. God bless you. Welcome to church. This is Koinonia. Amen and amen. How was your week? Amen. This one coming will be better. This one coming must be better. The devil notwithstanding, your limitations notwithstanding, that you showed up today, the week coming must be better. Better means it will produce fearful results. Better means it will move you forward. Better means you will go higher. In the name of Jesus Christ. Better means this is the week your enemies will not have anything to say. Because it will be obvious God has lifted you. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated. This is what you get in the house of God. This is not a viewing center. No. The house of God is not just where the people of God are gathered. The house of God is where he has chosen to invest his presence, to tabernacle in the midst of his people. His presence is the most important factor. That's what makes it his house. It is because of him that we are gathered. The Bible says, unto the Lord, not unto the man of God, not unto the church, unto the Lord shall the gathering of his people be. He said, the Lord in the midst of his people is mighty. Hallelujah. Again, I welcome you to the house. Very quickly, it's my joy and honor to bring the Sound of Revival announcements. It's been a journey back and forth, but we're very happy to be able to announce it. So very quickly, media, if you're ready, let's start with Canada. Canada, hallelujah, Sound of Revival, Canada. Please leave the bills. Praise the name of the Lord. So we're in Toronto again, this time around, 13th and 14th of August, just a few weeks, about six weeks thereabout, just a month and 2 weeks, and it's going to be a phenomenal time. We are a glory to glory ministry. We are glory to glory believers. There's no addition that will be a maintenance of the level that we once were. It's always from glory to glory. Greater fire, greater impact. So all of you in Canada and environs, please join us from the 13th and the 14th. And it's going to be an incredible time. The venue, the time, and all the details are there displayed. And make sure that you participate actively, not just by coming, but by bringing as many people. We'll open up more doors for registration. If there's any space available, we want to do, we're trusting God to do a very mighty work in Canada. These things we do takes a lot of resources and time and energy. And the reason why we're glad to do it in spite of that is because it was a mandate that God gave us, and we have seen the fruits of this sacrifice. There's no amount of money that equals souls saved, lives transformed, territories that are shifted for Jesus. We know that the things we are doing are bringing about great salvation over territories. And this is why it gives us great joy to be hosting this year's edition again. So please scan the QR code for those of you who are yet to register, friends, family, pastors. And as always, I'm encouraging you to get the word out. We want to see all people groups represented the Chinese, the Francophone, all other people groups. It is not an African meeting. We are of African descent, but the mandate is to the globe and particularly to Canada and environment. So please make sure you invite everyone, all of you who live in Canada. This is more importantly your responsibility. We are coming already to be a blessing to you. So you do the other part of the job by gathering your entire environment, people who live there, young, old, you know, all of the people who can make it online and offline, and let's celebrate Jesus and trust God is truly the sound of revival. Praise the name of the Lord. Now let's go quickly to the U.S. We're happy again to finally be announcing the one for U.S. I'm particularly happy because that's what has delayed the announcement for a few weeks, because we're trying to tidy up. So the way it works is that you have to make sure all of the contracts, the things that are needed to be done, particularly as touching venue, the formalities, it's quite a laborious process to secure the venue and make sure that the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. And because it's a contractual agreement, you want to do everything properly before we make the announcement. So sometimes these delays come because you're doing a lot of back and forth, responding to email, still trying to manage the terms of the use of these venues, and so on and so forth. But we're happy and we're glad. There you have the venue. We're truly, truly happy. The Georgia International Conference Center is just about 15 or there about 15 minutes from the airport. So we're happy that it'll save the people time. They don't have to spend so much as far as transportation is concerned. But for all of you in Atlanta, in fact, in U.S., I trust God that this will be a greater addition even than New York. As wonderful as New York was last year, it is from glory to glory. Greater in every sense of the word, in terms of the impact, the miracle, salvation, the delivery of the word, the worship. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. I look forward to what God is doing, because this is the first time where, whilst one edition was going on, the Lord gave a direct word about where the next one will be. Usually, when we are done, we rest, we review, we think, and then we plan and finally arrive at the next venue. But whilst we were in New York last year, the Lord spoke to me clearly and said the next place will be Atlanta. And so we made that announcement and we're happy to see it come to pass. It's going to be a phenomenal time. Are you happy about that? Praise the name of the Lord. So it is 20th and 21st of August. You notice this time around we're starting with Canada and then we'll end with the U.S. Let's stretch our hands and speak prophetic words over this conference. It's a global conference and it is our conference. God has chosen to ride through these conferences to shift the spiritual climate over territories, and we are truly honored to be part of what God is doing. Someone lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you because you are King. We declare sound of revival, Canada, sound of revival, U.S. for 2026. Let it be greater in every sense of the word. Let Jesus be revealed. Let Jesus be glorified. Let the word come with power. We pray that you gravitate your people from all over North America to converge at these venues for these days. Let it be a lifetime encounter. For those hungry, may they find the living bread. Those thirsty, may they find the water of life in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Can you project for us the QR registration link for U.S.? So U.S., there you have it. I think most of you in U.S. have been waiting for this, even though we already have a number. We're just about 7 weeks left. Please go ahead, scan the QR code. And let me say this, please be sure that you are coming. Think, pray, plan, and make sure that you are sure that you are coming, that you have your leave for those of you who are working. The reason is because we don't want a situation where we exhaust the space for on-site meeting and then we have thousands of others who desire to come but are not able to make it, whereas those who have registered eventually just change their minds. So please make sure you think through, even if you have registered already and for some reason you are not able to make it physically, please let's know so that we can give your space to someone. We don't want to have the kind of situation we had in Liverpool. We had thousands of people outside, and we just thank God for the grace that they didn't have to vandalize anything, no stampede and all of that. When you are dealing with significant amounts of people, it takes a lot of organization, and you want to make sure that you are done and you leave that nation in peace. Praise the name of the Lord. So, U.S., please make sure it, U.S. is a very, you know, it's a nation with about 50 states. So you can imagine it's important to be able to plan properly. So all of you who need to register, please do that now. The links are opened. And if you need to make any inquiry, take note of the numbers, the emails that are attached to the bills. You can call our PR personnel, and they would be glad to respond to you and respond to any inquiry as you may have it. The Lord bless the sound of revival, and we trust that it will be an awesome time in Jesus' name. As always, we are part of this, whether you are here in Africa or Europe or any part of the world. When God sends us, we go together in spirit. How do you participate? Number one, you pray. The least every believer and everyone who is part of this vision can do is to pray for us. In as much as we've seen the hand of God in undeniable ways, you know, when you're used to doing certain things, you can master your craft. But when it has to do with spiritual things, it is that level of arrogance that makes people to begin to have the motions without the presence. We approach every conference with a sense of sacredness and responsibility. Hallelujah. In as much as the mechanics of organization is concerned, we have mastered our craft. But we know that without the presence of God, we'll only be actors on stage. Praise the name of the Lord. So let prayer be invested as though this is the first time we're hosting such a meeting. Number two, plan. For those of you who are coming, don't just show up. Make sure you pray, prepare your spirit, spiritualize your mentality, and show up to be changed. Number three, give. Give. You have no idea for most of us how much it costs, but I leave your mind to explore how much it costs to host a single Sound of Revival conference. And I mean, it's incredible. Except God sends you, these are not the kinds of things you should go near at all. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. By the mercies of God, we've not left any nation owing bills and not able to pay. No, we are not only ambassadors of the kingdom, we're ambassadors of our nation, ambassadors, hallelujah. But these resources are an aggregate of the love, the givings, and the support of faithful people. So make sure you don't just pray, make sure you give. For those of you who are in US, make sure you give. Those of you who are in Africa, make sure you give. Don't say you are a kingdom financier if you don't give. Praise the name of the Lord. And don't say they have a lot of money, we won't give. Praise the name of the Lord. That's already greed looking for an excuse. Praise the name of the Lord. So make sure you give. And then, of course, your physical presence. It is because we want you to be there. That's why we're not doing it entirely online. Would have just looked for a studio and call it Sound of Revival Global. And then we'll just do it from a studio. But the physical presence matters, and that's why we're coming. So please make sure you participate. Businessmen participate. Churches participate. Sons and daughters participate. Every believer participate. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you this. I'm not talking about money, and it's not to flatter or manipulate you at all. But did you know it's not very difficult to raise resources without pressure if everyone decided to be a part of it? I can tell you this by the grace of God. We're not saying this because there's any need. God has been faithful, and we're people of leadership and wisdom. But I owe you a responsibility to teach you. Every believer, remember my teaching on the power of one. If you think your $1 is insignificant, you see that? Koinonia Global, that is those who are genuinely connected to this ministry, we already have the numbers and the dedication and the loyalty to be able to carry out any kingdom program without coercion. So don't just wait for a few people you consider wealthy or privileged or some person somewhere. Once you do that, it's a mentality that makes those who are giving this way sometimes to get into a state of pride. Giving is not just an obligation for rich or wealthy people. Are we together? When it is in your heart to give, there's no Koinonia program I'm part of that my seed will not go into it. And it's not just because I have a responsibility, you know. No, I do it because the word will work for me. It's an honor to not only preach, but to be part of God's program. So I'm encouraging you, don't just rejoice. And for those of you who are coming, who are part of the vision, it's an orientation that the body of Christ must have. Are we together? We thank God for the power of integrity. But you can imagine hosting programs of this magnitude going from UK to Canada to US, all for the gospel. Never be part of any vision and any ministry and then not contribute significantly when there are kingdom programs happening. Now, it's not compulsory, but it's an education, it's an orientation. And as you grow, you don't just receive, but you become part of it. You sit down as business people, as family people. How can we be part of this? You're doing it as unto God. That's what I do. When I'm starting my year at my retreat, that which God has blessed me with, I know that there is a portion of my resources that must go for kingdom. Hallelujah. So it's an orientation we must sustain. Don't just rejoice and then we return together and say, wow, God did mighty things. You would be surprised. If every believer sees the value of their dollar, sees the value of their pound in advancing the kingdom, there will be no need to ask people, okay, do this, do that. I'm praying that the body of Christ will get to that point of maturity where there will be no need to manipulate people, where the talk about money that distracts services will not be there, and that will not just be waiting for single individuals who rise to be the ones who pay while we clap. Everybody should be part of it. If God were hungry, he would not ask us for bread. Are we together now? So I am encouraging you, pray, plan, and make sure you give. The Bible says, every man, as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. I will never tell you to do what I do not do. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Have you learned something? Let's give Jesus a big hand. And then, of course, now please look up. Publicity is our business. Are we together? It is the greatest justification for, you know, paying the price to get up, go there, plan, put these resources together, is that the people who should be saved, the people who should be transformed, are there to listen. Please look up. I'm not inviting you. You are the Koinonia, so you should be the one to invite others. Even if it's a 50,000 auditorium and it's filled to capacity, and it's filled to capacity with faithful, loyal Koinonia sons and daughters, I will be happy that it was a great conference, but my heart will still live sad. Because 50,000 people who are already being mentored to maturity, there will hardly be salvation among them. Are we together? Yes. But if we have a major part of the people in that auditorium as unbelievers, you see that now, where there is a harvest of souls, where there are people who have not heard what you have heard and now can hear and be transformed, it gives a richer sense of fulfillment. So the idea is not just filling up stadiums. The idea is not just filling up auditoriums. The idea is not just registering that they were participants. It's that you invite the unreached. Unreached in terms of salvation. Unreached in terms of transformation. Are we together? You must make it an intentional project. Write the names, particularly for those of you who are in America, from the workforce and all who are part of this vision. And believers who may not directly be connected to Koinonia, but believe in Kingdom Come. Write the names of those you will invite. Be intentional about it. Start praying. Start reaching them. Many of you have your social media pages and all of that. You put the invitation there and tell them. It's one thing to create awareness, but it's another thing to invite people. Are we together? There are two different things. That I'm aware you are celebrating something does not mean I'm invited. No. Be intentional about inviting people. You heard the testimony of the gentleman who said they would go out, win souls, and you know, and invite the people and even labor to pay the transport and bring them. That's how it is to invite the people. Praise the name of the Lord. So the Lord bless you and the Lord increase you. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. The next assignment I have here is quite a serious one. There are not many times where God brings a strong prophetic word and would ask me to announce it. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 27. Matthew 10, 27. He said, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak in the light. And whatsoever ye hear in the ear, he says, that preach on the housetops." Please lend me your attention, particularly to those who are following online. The Lord has given me a prophetic word, and this word is for the church in the north. This prophetic word is for the church in the north. The north here starts from the middle belt down to the extreme north of Nigeria. Hallelujah. I'm in a season where many times in the middle of the night I was sitting yesterday just praying, and the Lord just quickened my heart and he said, "Go and get on your keyboard and just be playing." And for a while I was just playing and worshiping God alone in the office. And after about an hour or two, the spirit of prophecy came over me and the Lord said, "Write these words. It's for the church in the north." There are many words, but I'll just bring out the one that God has permitted, the church in the north. The Lord told me to tell the northern church that there is still much that he desires to do, that there are many young people who are part of his end time prophetic program, but that the north needs to embrace the spirit of meekness. Please listen carefully. This is to the church in the north, and I'm saying this as a fellow, a co-laborer. There's a lot that God wants to do in the north. There are many, many voices, apostolic, prophetic, evangelical voices, prophetic psalmists that God desires to rise from the north. But there are many things, particularly pastors in the north. This is, with all due respect, the time has come for us to embrace the spirit of meekness so that we can allow God's program to find expression and to allow those who need to be built to be part of this glorious army. When the Lord gave me this word, I understood immediately what he was saying. Hallelujah. I was born and bred in Jos, started ministry in Zaria. These are two major places, Plateau State for an example, Kaduna State, Benue State. This area seem to be the heart of, you know, the Christian programs in the north from a very long time. There are many other places, but I think that for me, one of the limitations, and I'm just giving perspective to this prophetic word, for a very strange reason, I don't think I have all the answers. And those of you who are following from across the north, please listen with an open heart. For a very strange reason, I don't know why we have found it embarrassing to submit ourselves and to learn dimensions in the kingdom that are not yet captured in our experience. You see, as a general principle, the average African came from a background of deprivation. And when you come from a background of, say, for an example, poverty and deprivation, something happens to you. The the sense of embarrassment. You know, we always don't like to give credit to people for adding to where we are. So there are people, with all due respect, including pastors, who, in spite of the fact that God has made an easy way for growth, for knowledge, for impartation, for the anointing, they would rather route their own path through suffering and ignorance. The lack of, how do I put this now? It's an aspect of pride. That means I don't want to acknowledge that it was through this woman, through this man, that this and this was added to my life. I rather say I found it by myself. You see that kind of mentality? And it is something that is destroying the program of God. Now, there are many beautiful things that the church in the north has embraced and preserved. One of it is setting their anchor on Jesus and evangelism. That one, no one will beat the church in the north. They have preserved that regardless persecution. If you find someone who was trained in the north and does not focus on Jesus, he was not a serious person. Or maybe he did not grow up in the north. I can tell you that for free. Praise the name of the Lord. But there are other aspects that are needed for the emergence of true apostolic and prophetic voices. You know that there is a bankruptcy of certain dimensions of knowledge that should come to a territory, because you see the consequences politically. You see the consequences economically. You see the consequences in terms of the level of influence and spread for the kingdom. You see, this work of ministry, we are not in competition. The most important thing is that Jesus will be revealed. Are we together? When God grants a man or a woman or a people dimensions of grace, it is supposed to be for the edification of the church. But you see, transference cannot happen in the presence of pride. You cannot receive in the presence of pride. And sometimes my precious people around the Middle Belt and the North, maybe subconsciously, we need to train ourselves to not be too proud to receive. It does not reduce. This is the word that the Lord gave me to the church in the North. Now, this is not a general prophecy to everybody. I know there are people who are very broken, very humble, but this is particularly to ministers of the gospel. If it is not working in your life, if it is not working in your church, don't put your ego on the line and punish innocent members. There are many mighty men who should have risen, but the people they submit to are refusing to open up themselves to a dimension. And by now, when they should be the ones handling the weightier things of the spirit, they are still there as toddlers in the spirit. The Spirit of God is crying this again, that he wants to move mightily in the north. There are many prophetic psalmists, worshippers, who should have risen from the north. But because the ones to mentor them and to train them, you see, do you know, there are many people across territories that cannot serve the program of God beyond certain scopes, because God honors men and he puts grace according to capacity. God will not give you an assignment that is transcontinental when you do not have that capacity to kill you. Are we together? This is very important. It's a prophetic word. One of the things that I am praying, that as the church in the north, we must trust God for grace to move away from, is there is something, let me use an African slang. There is a Nigerian slang called see finish. You know what it means? See finish means over familiarity. You have to drop that kind of thing if you want to learn. Spiritual things don't work that way. Are we together? Now, by the mercies of God, I've been to every region, every of the 6 geopolitical zones in Nigeria. By the mercies of God, I have studied cultures and I've seen what are the merits and the demerits of certain cultural practices. The one thing I am praying that God will help the north, the church in the north, to be delivered from generally is this familiarity mentality. Excuse me. And I'm not just speaking for myself. There are many young people, you cannot imagine the level of grace that God has given them. But we use factors like age, family ties, academic school, classmates, and all of these things, and it keeps punishing us. We must trust God for grace. This is the one thing, with all due respect, that I've seen with people in the West. A last born can be a pastor, and his mother can be a pastor in that ministry, and know the difference between being his mother and being someone who is serving. I have friends in ministry who their siblings or their relatives serve in the ministry, and they don't take the mentality of family can be discussed somewhere. Are we together? It's a cancer that is destroying people. There are many people dying in the north, whereas there are those who carry the healing anointing. In Jos, in Kaduna, in Taraba, in Zaria, in Benue, they have it. But they would rather heal people outside, and those who are around them will never receive anything. This is a strong word. This mentality of familiarity and then pride. You see, we must shelve it. I don't know everything. I have never been embarrassed to say it. There are dimensions, no matter how yielded I am. I learn from everyone. I learn from those I have raised. I learn from contemporaries. I learn from mentors. I learn from fathers. And when I learn from you, I'm not ashamed to acknowledge. When I see you, I will say thank you for impacting my life. I don't do those things where you carry a man's message and listen in secret while criticizing him in the open. That's why the impartation does not work. Are we together now? So it's important. There are things we need to learn, my dear church in the north. We need to learn leadership. We need to learn administration. We need to learn the laws of the kingdom. It doesn't mean we are not doing well. But the Bible says, add this to this, add this to this. God wants to move. There are many young people. There are many young women, young men in ministry. And from ministry will come people in economy, politics. Do you not see that the region is crying? There is a deficiency of authentic apostolic voices. And the idea is not just to have 1, 2, 3 celebrities. No, God may start with a few, but he intends for everyone who has that call. But once there is pride, I know it too. You are failing clearly. I know it too. It doesn't work that way. Let us not allow our pride to punish the people who God has brought to us, who we should rise, we should lift, and cause to be global for Jesus. It does not take so much to change a city. It does not take so much to change a territory. If you are doing well in terms of consecration, but you are always behind on your bills, there is something you don't know. Don't go around arguing and insulting those who are prospering. Humble yourself. You see, the mentality, and let me say this with all due respect, still talking to my beloved people in the north, I love you with all my heart, both pastors and members. Don't hate what is not working in your life simply because it is not working in your own life. Are we together? Don't see everyone prospering and then say the reason why we are poor is because we are doing the right thing. It's not so. Not everybody is a crook. Are we together? Now, not to exalt size and all of that, but salvation is an issue of numbers. The more people are saved, the more you have bodies that God can use. I look forward to this prophetic word, maybe strengthening a pastor. Humble yourself, for God's sake, beloved brothers and sisters, ministers of the gospel. And that extends to others, not just pastors. That mentality of getting angry, that mentality of hating, that mentality of wishing evil, or that mentality of trivializing growth and greatness, you cannot come into a realm you trivialize. Nobody becomes sustainably great by mistake. That you don't know the dynamics does not mean it was not done properly. Cain and Abel, are we together? One offered the sacrifice. Another did what he knew to do. One was accepted. The other one was not accepted. And Cain got angry and God said, no. If you did what was right, would you not be accepted? So I'm speaking by prophecy to the church in the north. All of the cities in the north, those who are doing well, may God continue to help you. Now, to balance this, let me encourage you, and please listen. If you are a pastor or you occupy any position of influence, don't rub it on the faces of people because God has lifted you. That's the balance. People should not have to crawl on your feet to prove that you have now become great. If God has granted you access to finances, thank God for it. But you must know that it's not easy for people to keep celebrating you without you reaching down. It's called the law of reciprocity. Are we together? Because sometimes we pastors are the ones who create this kind of attitude. A little lifting, a little exposure, a little traveling out of Nigeria, a little opportunity, and we want people to roll around and worship us as a sign that we have broken through. That's not the culture of the kingdom. It's the reason why God works on the character of men, so that as you rise, you do not become a destructive influence to those who are looking at you. Is somebody learning now? However, don't trivialize greatness when you see it. Don't see God using men doing great and mighty things and then just get angry and get resentful and try to look for anything bad to downplay. No, your anger at greatness does not turn it to mediocrity. No. The great are unaffected by what you think or what you do not think. But this business right now is about the program of God and it's about the advancement of the kingdom. A dear man of God asked me a question and said, Apostle, I find it strange. There's no koinonia in your state and you've never organized any program in your state and you are around the world. I said, God has not given me the release. And the reason I believe, I may not know, I'm not God, but the reason may be because God wants the hearts of the people to truly be prepared to receive. It's a waste to bring the anointing and preach and be shouting when there are people just nodding and they are not receiving. Are we together? While God is speaking to the north, let this apply to every other region. When you see what God is doing, to those God is using, I want you to know that you are in a noble position, lifted by grace and mercy. You must learn to communicate humility. Don't get to a point where you believe you are a big man. This is especially for the younger ministers who are rising. There is a lot of subtle pride. Subtle pride. You can preach, I can preach. You can pray, I can pray. I have money, you don't have money. And so sometimes these young people are the ones who make particularly those who are elders in ministry to just believe the younger people are not serious. That you are anointed does not stop you from showing respect. That you are anointed does not mean you don't have people who have gone. They may not be ahead in anointing, but the fact that they are there, even in age, they deserve your respect. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. I personally find it insulting for an elderly person, someone much elder than me, to just kneel down. Sometimes when I want to pray and they're kneeling down, I tell them, no, please stand. If you are kneeling down, I will join you to kneel down. Except sometimes they just refuse and I know that they've connected to their faith to that act and I just let it be. But you'll be surprised how many young people like it. They can even tell their mother and their father, two of you kneel down. Let them, and snap it while they are doing it. You know, this is a generation of media. Put the video 3D. Let them see that it's my father kneeling down. No. There is a level that when God helps you, everything to be proven has been proven. Now God says, oh, you have settled down. I've allowed you to be childish for years. Settle down and do my work. Hallelujah. Did you get the balance now? So to the ones God has raised, to any measure, please make sure that you show respect to every pastor. That you are lifted up there does not mean you should look down on others. As a personal principle, you will never find me looking down on anybody. No. It doesn't matter whether you are starting. It doesn't matter whether you are a son, whether you are a daughter, provided you have answered the call of God, I honor all men, more so that you are in the priesthood. But the Lord wants to do great things in the north. I don't know why God gave me this word, but I've decided to obey to bring this word. So church in the north, from Plateau State to Kaduna State to Taraba, Benue, Bauchi, Gombe, you know, Yola, Yobe, all across the north, Nasarawa, Kogi State, everywhere across, God wants to do greater than we have seen. There are still mighty men to rise. God still has people he's working on. Those of us who have the privilege of being voices and signposts in our various places, please let us handle this work of ministry with humility so that we will last, number one. And then for those who are coming up, don't fight a realm you are not yet there because of pride. And don't say we started ministry together. You were my classmate. You were my brother. That's not how the things of the Spirit work. Once you discern grace and you discern it working, you must have the intelligence to humble yourself and receive. You cannot receive the anointing from a colleague. You cannot receive the anointing from a classmate or a brother or a sister or a husband or a wife. It doesn't work that way. Are we together? The blessed, the greater is blessed. I mean, the less is blessed of the greater. There must be that humility. Hallelujah. Let's, whilst we are seated, lift your voice, everyone. And for those who are connected across the globe, please allow me. We're just giving a prophetic word that God is giving to the church in northern Nigeria. But let's lift our voices in 1 minute and pray for the church in the north. Whether you are from the north or not, because the Lord has given us this prophetic word, can we lift up our voices in 1 minute and pray? Please pray for the church in the north. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. Father, help your people. We pray for every pastor, every prophet, every apostle, every missionary, every evangelist, every denomination in the north, from Plateau State to Benue State to Kogi State to Nasarawa to Taraba to Kaduna State, Yobe, Maiduguri, Zamfara, the entire church within the Middle Belt, the north, we decree and declare, first, O God, that the spirit of meekness, let there be a baptism of meekness upon the priests, the men and the women of God who do the work of ministry. Let that extend to politicians. Let that extend to business people. The malleability of heart to receive dimensions that they do not yet have without being embarrassed. The humility to receive help without being embarrassed. Take away the spirit of familiarity that cuts short the potential for growth. And pray for the pastors, the ones that God is using, that they will be humble enough to reach down to those below them and not create a difficult atmosphere that desires human worship, but that God will bring his prophetic word over the church in the north to pass. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Amen. So please take this word to any pastor you know, anyone you know. As always, some will receive it with brokenness of heart. Some will be angry and trivialize it and throw. That's all right. Some will trivialize it. Some will know it is God but still deny it. It doesn't matter. This is what always happens. But the most important thing is that let it get to as many sincere people who may be confused, asking God, what next? Why is there a limitation to your move as far as the north is concerned? There's gonna be a great awakening. There's gonna be a great revival in our land. There's gonna be a great awakening. And everyone who calls on Jesus, they will be saved. Let me sing it one more time over the north. There's gonna be a great awakening. There's gonna be a great revival in our land. There's gonna be a great awakening. And everyone who calls on Jesus, they will be saved. Let it be so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. The last thing I'll say very quickly is hopefully, maybe by next week, I feel stirred in my heart and I will release two of my songs that God gave me. The song will teach the worship team this week. And I believe that these songs are prophetic. These are songs for the hour. And hopefully we'll be able to do one next week and then one wherever it is. These songs come to bless the body. They are prophetic messages for the body. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. As I prepared my notes for tonight, my heart was greatly gladdened and inspired because many times I take an assessment of the teachings and the areas that we have covered. As far as the growth of believers are concerned, versus the level of transformation that we can see in the life of the average believer who is under this grace. And honestly, I thanked my God, I still do, upon every remembrance of us, as I looked through and I saw that these words had gained entrance in the hearts of many of us. I'm seeing the transformation we are becoming, the intelligence, the power, the grace. It is evident, it is obvious that we have gotten to a point where the Holy Spirit has found unrestrained access to our hearts. I have given you a guarantee in righteousness. As far as I'm concerned, I am committed and I remain committed to seeing to it that you are methodically built, line upon line, precept upon precept, that every service becomes for you an encounter service, imparting upon you knowledge, imparting upon you wisdom, and the empowerment it takes to keep rising, like a baby growing until you become an adult. And this is what God is doing. And I'm happy because you are supporting this project by investing your loyalty, your time, your energy, your attention in learning. Let me encourage you, whether or not you are beginning to see the fruits of transformation, I'd like you to stay and trust what God is doing, believing that He will build you, and one day you will just wake up into a dimension of possibilities that will surprise you. And when people ask you and say, how did this happen, you will tell them it's the goodness of God. He supplied the grace, but I stayed learning every day. I stayed learning every other time. For some of you, your level of diligence in becoming is different. You know, we have some that are 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I can tell you that God is just. You just continue. It says, meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear unto all. Let me declare over your life that it won't be too long. You will begin to see the fruit of His presence, the profit of staying with God. You believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
The Lord gave me a very strong word. Tonight, we are going to be, by way of summary, for sake of time, looking at the anchors, the biblical anchors for a life of exploits and for unshakable faith. God is bringing us into a greater awareness of the things that are most surely believed among us. And I title my teaching tonight, I Believe. I Believe. We're looking at the biblical anchors for exploits and unshakable faith. We'll be running through scripture and we'll be looking at the pillars that are responsible for building unshakable faith in a believer. The Bible says, for an example, to be steadfast. It says to be immovable. It then means for you to be steadfast like a ship You must be anchored. And there are certain foundational truths of Scripture and of the Christian faith that must become your anchor if you are to be immovable, unshakable, and then victorious. Luke chapter 1, from verse 1 to 4, I believe. We're examining the biblical anchors for exploits and unshakable faith. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of the things that are most surely believed. Now you notice, he said the things that are most surely believed. Number two, even as they delivered them to us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Three, it seemed good to me, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto you in order, most excellent Theophilus, verse 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. That thou mightest know the certainty, that you will know that the things you have been taught, the way of the kingdom you have been shown, are not opinions. Are we together? They are not subjective thoughts. They are not cunningly devised fables. That you may know the certainty of those things wherein ye have been instructed. Praise God. Colossians chapter 2. We'll read 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 7. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Verse 7. It says, rooted and built up in him. Take note of Paul's construction. He's speaking to the church in Colossae, and he uses a very important word, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let me read that part again. Rooted, he says. So it should not just be an information. Rooted and built up in him as a result of the things that have been taught, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I believe. Very quickly, there are no less than 10 anchors upon which the believer must peg his faith and conviction if you want your faith to stand the test of time and to be unshakable. An anchor is like a provision that sustains the capacity to hold a ship or to hold any object for that matter, so that it is steady, that regardless the boisterous movement of the wind on the sea, the ship or the object, it is able to keep it so that it does not just move up and down. It's called an anchor. Hallelujah. There are at least 10 of them. Could be more than that. But for the purpose of our discussion tonight, I want to run a list of 10. 10 foundational truths, foundational beliefs. Now, let me tell you this. No matter what you differ, we differ denominationally speaking. There are slight variations here and there. But these 10 anchor truths, any life, any Christian life that must be unshakable, immovable, especially in light of the times that we live in, and more so desiring to produce victory. You cannot experience dominion and victory and certainty and longevity outside of these anchors. Praise the name of the Lord. So very quickly, let me just run through it. First and foremost, if you do not believe this, you are not a Christian. You cannot be called a Christian. And then if you believe some of them and omit some, you will certainly be a defeated Christian. Perhaps a frustrated Christian. Are we together? Perhaps a Christian whose life cannot present God in a way that compels many to come to him. I'm praying for you that as we walk through this list, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, everywhere your faith is shaking, every anchor that's not yet steadfast, it's not yet a conviction, may the Holy Ghost do a work in you. in the name of Jesus Christ, that at the end of this, from all of us, it will be 10 over 10. You can beat your chest and say, truly, I am steadfast and I am immovable in the name of Jesus. Now, look up, please. The rate at which many believers purport to love God, purport to be strong in the faith, and then suddenly, either through a defiant teaching, a defiant lifestyle, a change in, maybe when they travel outside of Africa to another, it is amazing how you find believers. Some of them can serve as pastors in churches, and then, for an example, they just travel abroad, overseas, maybe for 1 year, 2 years, and you cannot even tell that they are Christians again. It means that something is wrong. They were not deeply rooted. Are we together? I have seen people, with all due respect, who have served as pastors running churches for decades, and one day they get up and say, you know what? I don't believe in God again. I'm tired of all these things. Life, I'm tired of lying to myself. Others, sadly, allow exposure to affect them negatively. As soon as they travel overseas or go to some region where Christianity, for an example, is not the dominant religion there, they are swayed in a matter of months, and God and anything kingdom doesn't make sense to them again. Others, it is much learning, as they say, that makes them to leave the things of God. They loved God before they went to school, and as they graduated, they left God there on campus and carried a certificate and moved out. And said, that you use Christianity thing, I was when I was ignorant, but now that I'm a doctor, now that I'm a professor, now that I'm a this and that, I have seen for myself. After all, I studied philosophy in the university. I studied sociology. As I began to examine all of these Stoic philosophies and all the other things, I've had reason to doubt God. For others, it's social media exposure, where you have someone who is angry at God, but highly intelligent. Angry at God, but highly intelligent. Angry at the Christian faith, but highly intelligent. And by the time they begin to communicate, high-sounding, thought-provoking thoughts. Examining, for an example, the deity of Christ. Examining, for an example, eternal judgment. Examining, for an example, why a great God will watch bad things happen to children and watch rape and watch death and not do anything about it. They have a way of using the intelligence of someone who is sowing to weave through your mind, sowing it from left to right. And by the time they are done with you, you say it's true. This thing, I've always known that something is wrong. It's just that I've not had the courage. It's true. Then, to make matters worse, you now take the matter and go and ask your pastor. And your pastor says, don't disrespect me. He says, no, it's not disrespect. Answer the question. And the man says, don't disrespect me. And when you ask a sufficient number of people, they turn and they say, you know what, just believe us too. It's not like we've not seen that thing. Just let's continue like that. One day in the by and by, God will answer us. But unfortunately, this is a generation that does not just have blind conviction. Are we together? So it's important to be steadfast, to be immovable. By reason of what I do, ministry has given me the allowance, particularly the apostolic ministry, to study other world religions. And I am amazed at how convincing it can be when you listen to those who know what they are saying. You know, intelligence, even if it doesn't lead anywhere, it is convincing. It can strike the string of your soul to a point that you sit down and nod your head. I mean, this thing, it makes a lot of sense. So God is preparing us, because as you are receiving the anointing for greatness, there are implications. You will get into a boardroom where you are the only one who is a Christian. Are we together? And everybody prepared for you. They knew you would be there. So they came with their own thoughts. These are the days where when you go to evangelize, you almost feel like crying, because you don't know who is sitting. You just meet the person and says, I want you to be born again. He says, have a chair. And then he tells you, I'm a professor of religions. And then he says, okay, let's talk. Why should I love Jesus? And he said, well, what are you saying? What do you mean, why should I love Jesus? He said, no, I'm not, why should I love Jesus? And now you're saying, because there is hell. He said, where is hell? How are you sure you are not being scammed? Well, the Bible says, Lazarus, this, are you the one who wrote the book? How are you sure some people did not come together and put that book? And at the end of it, you become converted. He told Peter, I said, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. I hope as you are laughing, you are getting the morale. Many, many believers have their faith on. That's the reason why sometimes, even for preachers, you can almost know a preacher has listened to a message that has troubled him. Because we always want to be on the safe side. So we just make sure we preach something, we touch every area, so that when persecution arises, at least you have a witness that you were on this side and that side and everywhere. The Bible says, be steadfast, be immovable. But you see, you can't lie about what you don't believe yourself. That's why it's called I believe. Say, I believe.
I believe.
Not I think, not I wish, not I am still contemplating. I believe. This is what I believe. The things that are most surely believed. Praise the name of the Lord. I can assure you, without being prophetic, that in your lifetime, at least 10 of these anchors will be tested. It will be tested in your place of work. It will be tested as you interact with the people every day as you walk around. It will be tested especially as you rise and people know you to be an advocate of everything kingdom come. Some will come sincerely like Nicodemus to learn. Some will come sarcastically to make a mockery of your level of knowledge or to expose your ignorance. Especially if you're a pastor. Days will come where people will no longer want to be called pastors again. Because once you say you are a pastor, the meaning of that is that you are knowledgeable enough to defend the faith intelligently. Is someone learning? Praise the name of the Lord. I was told one time, a plane was about to crash. And they said they needed to reduce the number of people. And they said you will jump out according to the letter of the nation you are coming from. So A, you will jump. B, you will jump. It's a joke. I think it's a fiction to express a point. And one man kept roaming around that. And they found out he was not jumping. And they said, what is your state? He said, any nation that begins with Z. Any nation that begins with Z. I mean, let me just know that I'll be the last person there. At least the aircraft will be lighter. A, they jump out. B, they jump out. C, they jump out. N, for an example, Nigeria, they jump out. And the guy, he just sat down, not moved by the fact that people were jumping. And they said, sorry, where do you belong to? He said, any nation that begins with Z. That's where I'm from. There are people who are like that. They go to the Greeks and they say, I'm a Greek. They go to the Gentiles, they say, I'm a Gentile. They go to the heathen and they say, I'm heathen. Because they want to be in a position that gives them security and safety. But I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ, that everything you are about to hear now will strengthen and anchor your faith. Yeah. Number one, the first anchor for a life of exploit and unshakable faith is that you must believe in the existence and the supremacy of God. Please write that down. You must believe in the existence and the supremacy of God. With all due respect to atheists and with all due respect to those who do not believe in the reality of God or spirituality, I can assure you by the authority of Scripture that the Bible tells us very clearly, in the beginning, God. And in fact, the Bible puts it beautifully. I think it's Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. That if at all you are not even spiritual, the invisible things. Colossians 1, 15. 1 and verse 15, I believe. Please give it to us. Is it 14? The invisible things, please look for it for me, my people. The invisible things, even the eternal Godhead, we are without excuse. That's the scripture that is there. No. This is not it. Bible Students Media. Someone help me. I need to find that verse. Romans 1. Thank you. Romans 1:16, not Colossians. Romans 1. Beautiful. Let's read it together, everybody. Write this scripture. It's a powerful scripture. 1, 2, go. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are not without excuse. NIV, please, or NLT. Give us NIV. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Are we together? The meaning of this scripture is that even if you are not spiritual, the fact that you can see the stars, the fact that you can see the sea, the fact that you can see the great whales, the fact that you can see a composite organism, a human being, the fact that you can see animals and trees, that should convince you that truly there is an eternal God and there is an eternal creator. You must believe in the existence and the supremacy of God. And very quickly, let me define for you God, because God means many things. God can mean your belly. God can mean some small idol in a room somewhere. Are we together? God can mean self. There are many things that contest to be God in scripture. When we talk about God, we talk about God Almighty. John chapter 17 and verse 3. This is life everlasting or eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God. The only true God and Jesus whom thou hast sent. So when we say God, we are talking about God Almighty. Give us that scripture. Now unto the King immortal, the King invisible, the only wise God. The only wise God. The God of heaven. The God of the earth. The Ancient of Days. Him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. Are you seeing that now? Praise the name of the Lord. Have you found the scripture? Media, let's work together. What's wrong? Who is behind that? Okay, beautiful. Now unto the King eternal. 1 Timothy 1:17. The King immortal. The King invisible. The only, you see only again. The only wise God. You must believe in the existence and the supremacy of God. Please look at me. When you believe that there is God and you believe He's almighty, and believe He's all-powerful, then you can believe that He can empower men. Then you can believe that He can open doors. Are we together? You cannot believe the things God can do until you believe He's alive and you believe He's there. Many people do not believe in God. They don't argue, but they have not come to a point of certainty. God wants to reveal Himself to men. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, science. Not in the beginning, philosophy. Not in the beginning, psychology. Not in the beginning, physics. Not in the beginning, chemistry. Not in the beginning, government. In the beginning, God. The one true God. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I believe in God. Say it again, I believe in God. And then say, I believe in Jesus Christ, His Son. Say that again. Say, I believe in Jesus Christ. We're coming there. But it's important that you must believe there is God Almighty, the Father of all creation. The Bible is very clear as to the fact that God is Almighty. He sits in the heavens and He rules over the affairs of men. Again, shout, I believe. You may not see Him physically. The Bible says no man had seen God at any time. You may not see Him physically, but because the Word of God declares and His Spirit, we're coming there, bears witness with your spirit, and creation is a testament of His wisdom. Creation is a testament of His artistry. If you do not believe in God, then explain life form. Science has stretched evolution from border to border. It still leaves you with the same question. Who created all things? And was not created Himself? The eternal God. Is someone learning? The existence and the supremacy of God. It's not enough. Some believe God exists, but they do not believe He's the only God, supreme. It matters that you believe in His supremacy. He's Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Ancient of Days. These are not church cliches. You must believe it. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, You will get to a point in your life where you will see someone doing something that you thought only God can do. Look at me. The reason why you believe God exists is not because of miracles. If your scope of believing God is miracles, make sure you don't meet Jannes and Jambres. Because when you meet them, their rod will also become a serpent. Are we together now? The primary reason why we believe God is not just because of miracles. Miracles are an addition to your conviction. The Holy Ghost bears witness with you that God is alive, that He exists. Is someone learning now? Say, I believe in God. God Almighty, God Supreme, and I believe in Jesus Christ, His Son. As simple as this sounds, it will be tested. Because there are times when you pray and it looks like God does not answer. At that point, this anchor will be tested. God, are you here? You're watching my mother die. Are you here? You're watching my father die. Are you here? Watching my child die. You may never imagine that this anchor conviction will be tested until life seems not to work. Our idea of God, and the Bible proposes that, is that if God is alive, everything in my life should work accurately. If there is a God running my life, then it means I should not, He should not, you know, watch me go in deviation to His patterns and then fold His arms. So why is it that in spite of the fact that God is alive, there are children dying? There are people, you know, sick and all of that, and it looks like nothing can be done. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, whether things change for the better or not, no matter what happens, let God be true in your life. You must never, never turn away from that conviction that God is alive, He is God Almighty, the King Eternal, the King Immortal, the Invisible God. Shout, I believe in God Almighty. Say, I believe in Jesus Christ, His Son. Very quickly, number two. What else must we believe as an anchor for exploits and unshakable faith? You must believe in the supremacy and the integrity of the Word of God. You must believe in the supremacy and the integrity of the Word of God. The supremacy and the integrity, not the word of God as a person, the written word, scripture, the integrity of scripture. Now, many of you may have heard me say this, that scripture itself is not necessarily the word of God. This word Bible comes from the word biblios. It just means a book. Are we together now? So, scripture contains all kinds of writings. God spoke here, Satan spoke here, men under the influence of the Holy Ghost spoke here. Are we together? Men who were under the influence of demon spirits spoke here, Satan spoke here. Let me show you a scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please, 16 and 17. Very quickly, are we learning? Anchor number two. The Bible says all scripture. Everybody shout that. Say all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Hold on there. Let me explain for you what that means. It does not mean everything said here was inspired by God, but that everything that was written here. Are we together? Everything said in the Bible was not inspired by God. There were statements that were written by demons, but capturing that statement was inspired by God because it is profitable for our learning. Are we together now? For an example, you see the conversation between Jesus and Satan, and yet it was captured in Matthew chapter 4. Why does the Bible capture the speakings of Satan? It was not the Holy Ghost that inspired Satan to speak, but that event was inspired of the Holy Ghost so that it would be documented. Are you getting the idea now? So the Bible says all scripture, keep it there please, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. This is very powerful. There is no verse in this Bible that is not profitable. It is only because believers do not know how to derive profit from scripture. And the Bible tells us that there are at least four levels of profit from scripture. Number one, it is profitable because it can teach you doctrine, didaskalia, the Greek. Are we together? Yes. A body of knowledge that needs explanation and sustains the power to upgrade a student to the status of the teacher or the lecturer. A body of knowledge is profitable for doctrine, but not doctrine alone. There are certain verses written here that don't give you any doctrinal benefit, but they can be for reproof. For an example, if you read the story of Solomon in Ecclesiastes, the Bible says the word reproof, can we have NIV? NIV. Let me see if it uses another word for reproof. Beautiful. It said it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. Are we together? So there are certain stories that may not seem to make sense, but God allowed them to be captured in the Bible because their profit to you is that God can use them to rebuke you of something. Are we together? So the Bible blesses the believer beyond just giving you doctrinal benefit. Rebuking, then correcting, then training in righteousness. The next verse, 17. That the man of God may be thoroughly equipped. Are you seeing that it takes beyond doctrine to be thoroughly equipped? If what you receive is doctrine alone, that's wonderful. But there are certain dimensions of God that you cannot learn. Doctrine, correction, rebuke, training in righteousness, that you may become thoroughly equipped unto every good work. But here's the point. Please look up. Why do we believe the Bible? We believe the Bible because we are convinced, number one, that it is inspired of God. Number two, we believe the Bible because when you look at the entire stories of Bible written by over 40 authors who never, most of them never met themselves. Are we together? The prophecies in scripture, one was generations apart. When you see the Bible canonized like this, it looks like they were relatives who just handled the relay. No, from Malachi alone to the Gospels was 400 years of no prophecy. 400 years. They did not hear God speak through any man. 400 years. From Malachi, the next person who spoke as touching the things of God was John the Baptist, or Zechariah. And then John the Baptist came. Are you seeing that now? So don't you think that it was just back to back to back to back? No, the Bible was written in summary, canonized in summary. Is somebody learning now? It's impossible, ladies and gentlemen, to have prophets like Isaiah, like Ezekiel, like Joel, prophesying the same thing. They never met themselves. It's like Smith Wigglesworth saying something, and then Joshua Selman is saying something, and if Christ tarries 100, 300 years, another gentleman gets up saying the same thing, and you can put all of them together, and it becomes a straight line from Genesis to Revelation. I told you that the Bible is not accurate because of its historic accuracy. No. The Bible is not accurate because of its archaeological accuracy. The Bible is not accurate using any other reference. The accuracy of the Bible is in its ability to reveal God, to reveal the plan of salvation. Are we together? To reveal Jesus Christ and to reveal the believer's destiny in Christ. Every time you say the Bible is accurate, this is the scope of the accuracy of the Bible. If you use the Bible for any other project, you will find inaccuracies in it. Are we learning now? So the reason why the Bible is accurate is in its ability to reveal God, to reveal the plan of salvation, to reveal Jesus Christ, and man, the believer who is in Christ, his destiny. You find it in the Bible. So some of the errors that you find in translation, some of the mistakes you find, some of the depravity of thoughts that came from the prophets, none of them tampered with the revelation of God. None of them tampered with the plan, the revelation of the plan of salvation. Is someone learning now? So when someone opens the Bible and gets confused, it's because you were not looking for God, the plan of God. Are we together? Salvation. And then the believer who is in Christ. If you use it for any other reference, you stand a chance of getting a lot of inconsistencies. Who understands that? We believe in the supremacy of the Word of God. That means I can sit with my Bible under the influence of the Holy Ghost, and I can learn scripture, and in learning scripture, I can know God. I can know Jesus Christ. I can understand his salvation plan for me. Are we learning now? And I can understand who I am and who I have become today in Christ. And also understand my eternal destiny. The scripture. Say, I believe in the supremacy and the integrity of the word of God. Of scripture. Now look up, please. It does not have to be a book. Because right now you have it in your phone as an app. Are we together? You can idolize the book. The idea is not to idolize the book. We were born to know this before the one in your phone came. So sometimes it's just for convenience. Are you getting the idea now? And then it's a good culture. It's just a subliminal programming. I'm holding my Bible now, but I'm not opening it most of the time. In fact, almost all the time I don't open it, but I'll keep coming with it. It just gives me that comfort. And then it helps to sell an idea of responsibility, especially for a believer who is rising. Is someone learning now? But whether I'm reading it on my phone or a device or a book or a document, the most important thing is to know that you are not honoring the book. The book was printed by, say, Zondervan or Whitaker House. And with all due respect, it's possible that those who printed this are just doing business. They don't even believe in Jesus. Is someone learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. Because I believe that maybe if Christ tarries, in the next 50 years, you may not find a book like this, except the one in your library. Are we together? But yet you will believe in the supremacy and the integrity of scripture. If you are learning, say amen. Amen. Now shout, I believe in the integrity and the supremacy of scripture. I believe in its power to reveal God. I believe in its power to reveal Jesus. I believe in its power to reveal salvation. I believe in its power to reveal my destiny and my future in Christ. Say amen. So don't let anybody make you feel that reading the Bible will go out of relevance. No, you must believe that this may be a book, but it is inspired of the Holy Ghost. A novel that had verses inside is not the same as the Bible. The Bible is a very intentional compendium. Is someone learning now? Can we go to number three quickly? The third biblical anchor for unshakable faith, the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit as the believer's advantage. You must believe in the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit as the believer's advantage. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Matthew, John chapter 16. Please give us from verse 8. John 16 and verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world, the Spirit of God now, of sin, righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because that's verse what? Let's go to his ministry to believers. Let me pull it up. Same John. I have many things to tell you, but ye cannot bear them now. How be it? Thank you. Verse 12. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. Everybody say, guide me. Say, he will guide me into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit. The person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit as the believer's advantage. This is very powerful. Many believers do not understand the value of the Holy Spirit. First and foremost, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is one of the expressions of the triune Godhead. Acts chapter 5, 3 and 4. Acts chapter 5, 3 and 4. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back the part of the price of the land? Verse 4. Whilst it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own? Why hast thou He said, why hast thou conceived this thing in your heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. He calls him the Holy Ghost in verse 3, and then he says he has lied unto God. The Bible acknowledges the Holy Spirit as one of the expressions of the triune God. Hallelujah. And like I've taught you, the Holy Spirit has a threefold ministry. His first ministry is to creation. His second ministry is to unbelievers. His third and major ministry is to believers. Hallelujah. To believers, he provides guidance and direction. To believers, he's the revealer of the will and the word of God. The revealer of the will and the word of God. To believers, he's the confirmer of the word of God. Isaiah 44, 24 to 26. Mark 16, 20. To the believer, he represents the voice of God. To the believer, he's the custodian of the anointing. I'll take it again. That the Holy Ghost has a threefold ministry. Number one, his ministry to creation. Psalm 104 verse 30 represents his ministry to creation. Number two, he has a ministry to unbelievers, convicting them, bringing them to Jesus Christ. John 16, 8 to 11. But a major part of his ministry is to believers. He provides guidance and direction. He is the revealer of the will and the word of God. He is the confirmer of the word. Every time you speak the word of God, it is the Holy Ghost who breathes upon it and brings confirmation of that word. He represents the voice of God. He is the custodian of the anointing. Isaiah 61, Micah 3 and verse 8, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. All of these scriptures speak to the fact that the Holy Ghost is the custodian of the anointing. I wrote here and I want you to listen. The Holy Ghost is both the conveyor and the administrator of the life of God in man. That means anything that has to do with life-giving is under the office of the Holy Ghost. Please, everybody, listen. Listen very carefully. You have to believe in the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you want your faith to be anchored, you know, I learned from Benny Hinn many years ago. It was a very profound teaching. He was showing the value of the Holy Spirit, and he made a profound statement. How many of you know that before the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles and before his dispensation started, there were miracles already happening? But it was not convincing enough for the people to believe in Jesus. They saw 5 loaves and 2 fish feed 5,000 people. They still doubted. They saw him walk on water. They still doubted. They saw the dead come back to life. They still doubted. They wanted to throw him off a cliff. He walked through them. They still doubted. They saw him rise up from the dead. They saw when they killed him. They watched him die on the cross. And when he came back to life, they still doubted. Because if the Holy Ghost does not give witness in your heart, you can see every evidence glaring before you, you will still doubt. Are we together? It's dangerous to use miracles as the only tool to convince people. Miracles are powerful, don't get me wrong. But there is a work of the Holy Ghost in the heart of a man that even without any physical evidence, he's the one who breathes upon men as we teach in the crusade ground. The words may not seem to add up intelligently, but you make the altar call and you watch them coming out, some of them crying. It will look like they don't understand what you are saying. But beyond the frailty of the words of the preacher, the Holy Ghost is doing his thing. There is a dimension of his ministry that science cannot explain. Logic cannot explain. Is somebody learning now? The Holy Ghost is not against science, but he's beyond science. He's beyond logic. I can tell you, the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. How do you explain that? Everybody say, I believe in the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is way beyond speaking in tongues. Are we together? Do you know that for a man to die for Jesus, it takes the Holy Ghost? You can't just allow yourself, they are killing you and you have an option to leave. And you say, no, I prefer to die for Jesus. Nobody has that kind of mental and emotional strength. It takes the Holy Ghost. Do you know it takes the Holy Ghost to cause a man to give and to give sacrificially? You are parting away with something precious, but it's by the Spirit. Hallelujah. If you don't believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, your faith will shake, because logic will sway your faith like a pendulum. It will take the Holy Spirit giving you witness beyond understanding, witness beyond science. I don't have all the answers, but the one thing I know is that the Holy Ghost bears witness that this is true. He's called the Spirit of Truth, not the information of truth. The Holy Ghost gives men truth beyond an information. It is the Holy Ghost that can talk to you when a man is teaching intelligently, but you still know there's something wrong. There's something wrong. He's called the Spirit of Truth. Is somebody learning? He's the life-giving Spirit. I like that. The life-giving Spirit. If I tell you the story of my life, and I do not spend a quality part of that time talking to you about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life, then I lie to you. I lie to you. I lie to you. There is a major part of my story and the story of this ministry that cannot be told without the person of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not just talking of miracles. I'm not just talking of signs and wonders. I'm talking of conviction, audacity. There are dimensions of faith. Looking back today, it would have been stupid to take those things without the Holy Ghost. You would think you were doing it on your own, but now you look back and you know you were carried. You had to be carried. You could not have crossed that river by the strength of the flesh. I'm telling you, there are certain rivers. When you are crossing it, you will think you are the one. But I'm telling you, when you look behind, you know it's impossible. Impossible. Everybody say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Oh, he seeks for a functional relationship. You can't be here and not believe the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is called koinonia. It says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, the sharing together, the participation of the Holy Ghost. It says, let it be with you all. Let it be with you all. Let it be with you all. This is a scripture you should know of heart. Sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet Holy Spirit, help me know Jesus. We sang it beautifully in Liverpool. More than before. Sweet Holy Spirit, precious Holy Spirit, help me know Jesus more than before. He's the one who truly helps men to know Jesus. You can open this Bible and it will look like a newspaper, but not when he breathes upon you. Look at me. These are ordinary hands. They can do nothing by itself. But when he breathes upon these hands, they become wonder-working hands. You see this mind? This mind is infinite in its potential. But you try to use science and logic, it won't go far. But there is a spirit in man. And the breath of the Almighty is what can quicken a man's understanding. The vastness of intelligence. The Spirit of God. How do you win without him? No, sir. You can't win without him. The variables for success are too many. Too many. Too many. They change with sentiments. It takes the Holy Ghost to win. Who is learning? For many of us, we think the Holy Ghost is just about praying. You can pray, ba 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 ba, and underutilize his ministry. It starts by believing that he's in your life as the advantage, not an advantage. Thee, he's the one who powers every other thing that works. Don't ever say I don't have anything. That you don't have money in your bank account, then you say you don't have nothing. Come on, preacher. Come on, my brother, my sister. The Holy Ghost, he's not a thing. He's not a cosmic power. He's not candle. He's not oil. He's not a bird. He's a living spirit. Help me, Lord Jesus, more than before. I like that part. More than before. More than before. More than before.
More than before.
More than before.
More than before.
How do you think these sermons come? How do you think the songs come? How do you think the scriptures are understood? You are intelligent enough. There are things when you see, you will know that they were outsourced from a realm that is not here. No, sir. There are solutions. There are witty inventions. Say, I believe. Please believe this, my dear brother and my dear sister. You may be ordinary, but allow the Holy Ghost. Don't just celebrate his coming. Believe he's an advantage. He's not a necessary, he's not a religious luggage you should carry. Don't just pray in tongues and ignore his ministry. The spirit of intelligence, the spirit of grace, the convey of the life of God. That when you say be healed, you are not just trying. Look at the hand. This is it here. This is it here. But it does not stop here. Help me see Jesus. Listen. I don't know how to convince you to believe this. But bring anybody to me, no matter how much of a failure, just vow that you will respect the Holy Ghost. Vow that you will respect prayer and the word. Vow that you will respect the contribution of a teaching priest. Before we start, I will sign a guarantee with my life that you will be a champion. This is what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying again. I'm saying, I don't care how much you have failed. You just write an undertaking before the world that I will respect the ministry of the Holy Ghost. That I will respect the ministry of prayer and the word. And that I will remain submitted to a teaching priest that also has the Holy Ghost. Before we start, I will be a shortee. I will guarantee you that if you fail, they should jail me. Provided you sign it all, that you will use your will for growth, not rebellion. I give you a guarantee. I don't care whether you are in debt. It sounds arrogant. It's what happens when you know him. May the church come into that knowledge that the Holy Ghost is not a cosmic power. That the Holy Ghost is beyond miracles and signs and wonders. Amazing how we have reduced him to an influence that just throws people on the ground. No, sir. No, sir. He has access to the mind of the Father. He has the blueprint of your destiny. You are the only one scared of your tomorrow. The Holy Ghost already knows the end. He is God. He can reveal it to you. I'm telling you this. In this kingdom, the advantage you have is the Holy Ghost. The Bible remains sealed until he opens it for you. How do you plan to prosper without him? I trust my brain. No, sir. No, sir. Don't wait till you fail and fail and fail. This is not fanaticism, my brothers and my sisters. Allow him as a businessman to be your strategist. Allow him as a businessman to be the one to guide you. You will look foolish for a while, but your results will be undeniable. I'm telling you. the spirit of truth, he does not lie. The spirit of grace, he does not leave you bankrupt. The one who empowers men, carries ordinary men, places oil on their heads. The Holy Ghost quickens you, empowers you, reveals things to you, opens up your destiny layer by layer, layer by layer. No matter how dull you are, yield to his ministry and watch what he does. This has nothing to do with being Western or being a pastor. No, sir. I have watched him change businesses and businessmen. I've watched him change preachers. Reinhard Bonnke was an ordinary preacher for many years until he understood the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He was not a sinner. He was a consecrated man, but he did not tap into the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Is someone learning? When people brag about how they got where they got to, I don't have the permission to use my mouth for that kind of thing, because I know. Yonggi Cho, an ordinary man who found the ministry of the Holy Spirit and wrote a book, Holy Spirit, My Senior Partner. He found out. Look at ordinary fishermen. Do you not read your Bibles? Fishermen. Jesus told them, don't worry, tarry. Something will happen to you. As the Holy Ghost came upon them, ordinary men. Peter, ordinary men. Paul, ordinary man. What of Billy Graham? Do I need to call scientists for you so that you do not think that I'm just talking about preachers? Today we shout the things that only his presence can achieve in men. The man you see standing before you, we cannot do nothing without his spirit. Someone lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, I receive your ministry afresh. Oh, where I have ignored you. Maybe I did not understand it. I thought it was just for preachers. And since I'm a businessman, I've not seen your value in my business. But right now, I lift my hands and officially take your place. You are the spirit of wisdom. I'm tired of foolishness. You are the one who gives life to the word of God. Tired of making mistakes. Please make sure you pray. He's the one who can give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places. He's the one who puts grace on your mouth, that it will minister grace to others, seasoning it with salt. He's the one who washes your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. He's the one who shows you things to come. Pray in 1 minute. You're not wasting your time. I'm showing you the way to exploit.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Say, I believe in the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is my advantage. My advantage. Not your background. He's my advantage. My dear sister, look at your life. Do you not see that without him, you really do not have an advantage? In this wicked world, full of wicked people, that someone can kiss you today, whereas the sword that will kill you is in the hand of the same person. It's only the Holy Ghost who will show you the way to go. Because there is a way that seemeth right to a man. Is the Holy Ghost who can tell you, this looks beautiful, but don't go there. It will land you in trouble. Please be seated. I believe in God Almighty. I believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. I believe in the supremacy and the integrity of God's Word. I believe in the Holy Scripture. I believe it is always profitable for my destiny. I believe in the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Number four. Are you ready? You must believe in the finished work of Christ and the believer's identity as a result of that finished work. Please write that down. You must believe in the finished work of Christ and the believer's position now as a result of that finished work. There are many ideas of the finished work of Christ, but the finished work of Christ talks about the victory that's been purchased for the believer today by reason of his death, by reason of his burial, by reason of his resurrection, his ascension, his exaltation. There is an implication to all that Jesus went through. It's called the finished work of Christ. It's a theological compendium of everything that Jesus did and the implication of that to you today. Let me take that again. That the finished work of Christ and the believer's identity today by reason of that finished work. If you do not understand this anchor, your concept of deliverance will be wrong. Your concept of warfare will be wrong. Your concept of Satan will be wrong. Your concept of victory will be wrong. You will never be able to walk in dominion. Please, everybody, pay attention. The finished work of Christ. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt you pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the throne. Lord, I lift your name on. Listen carefully. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt you pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the throne. Lord, I lift your name. It is true that he came as the incarnate one. Scripture tells us that we believe in that he passed through the womb of a Virgin Mary, born as a little baby, a man of like passion. The Bible says he grew up like every other person, learned the law from age 12, began ministry from age 30. His earth work was important. He demonstrated to us what we could be. And the Bible says he began to prophesy and talk about the things that he came for. He said, I came to seek and save the lost. He found the things that were written concerning him. Lend me your attention. The Bible says at a certain time in his life, willingly, he gave himself. Until Paul explained it to us, we did not know. We just knew that he died for our sins because he said so. But nobody really had that understanding until Paul the Apostle, under the influence of the Spirit of Revelation, he and Apostle Peter, they were the two apostles that gave us a thorough exegesis of the implication of the death. We just knew from the gospel that Jesus died for us. But Paul changed the statement. He said he did not just die for us. We died in him. We died in him. We resurrected in him. Today we are seated in him. The Bible says, in whom we have eternal redemption. Are we together now? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It's called the finished work of Christ, because when Jesus died, he has prevailed over death, hell, and the grave. Listen, the lamb that was slain is the lion who reigns. That part is important. He has prevailed over death, hell, and the grave. The Lamb that was slain is the Lion who reigns. He said, I wept, for no man was worthy to open the book and unlock the scroll. And the elder tapped him and said, weep not. Did you not know the story? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he had prevailed. It was Paul again that gave us the whole gist of what happened in Hades. That when Jesus died, he went down to Hades, and all the principalities and powers were on him, forcing him to bow. The Bible says he made a public show of them, triumphing over them in it. And according to Peter's addition, the Bible says he went to the bosom of Abraham and preached to the souls that were departed there. He opened up that prison door and lined them out, and he became the firstborn, not the only now, the firstborn among we the begotten. That the patriarchs who had died looking forward to salvation in prophecy, because they believed and they died. The Bible says he preached to them, they believed. And they resurrected, they walked around the streets of Jerusalem. And after that, the Bible tells us that Mary came to touch him. She shouted, Rabboni. He said, do not touch me. I've not yet ascended. There was still the high priestly duty he was going to do in heaven. It was Paul again in the book of Hebrews who began to give us that exegesis in the similitude of what used to happen to the high priest when he entered into the most holy place on the Day of Atonement called Yom Kippur, where he would offer the blood of atonement, and then he would bring the scapegoat, and he would lay his hand on the scapegoat and transfer the sin of the entire nation of Israel upon that scapegoat, and then they would release it into the wilderness. Jesus came as the high priest. He also came as the Lamb. You see that now? And the age of the Lamb determines the validity of the atonement. In the Old Testament, the Lamb had to be 1 year old and a male without blemish. Now Jesus came as the ageless Lamb, and when he drained his blood, he took it to the tabernacle in heaven and he offered it once and for all. The Bible says he purchased eternal redemption. Is someone learning now? Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong. In the Savior's love, through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Listen to me, believers. Don't learn about breakthrough and then don't know this one. Don't learn about prosperity and the laws of increase and then don't know this one. These are doctrinal anchors that keep you steady and keep you consistent. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant it is finished. Now, whether it is manifested in your life or not, the reason why it can manifest is because it is finished. Did you get that now? Victory over demons, finished. Victory over curses, finished. Victory over failure, finished. Let me remind you, there are seven things that the cross is a summary, a representation of the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus. When we talk about the cross, we don't just mean the object. The object there is a typology of all that Jesus did for us. There are seven things, I remind you, that the cross and the blood purchased for us. Number one, victory over sin, victory over Satan, victory over death, victory over hell, victory over the grave, victory over the world, and victory over the flesh. Seven. Sin, Satan, death, hell, the grave, the world, the flesh. Every one of them is still that same victory that deals with it. The dynamics of appropriating the victory may differ, but it is because it is finished. Please carry that finished mentality. I'll be showing you the other keys, and you will know why we still pray deliverance on people. You will know why we still engage the word of God, but you must carry that finished mentality. When we say God has done miracles, We are not saying it is now he's doing it. No, it is rather about it manifesting because it's finished in Christ. Everybody shout finished. Say it again. Your victory tomorrow is finished. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Is someone learning now? So as a man of God, if you go to a crusade ground, for a crusade, for an example, to pray for the sick, you may say, okay, God, do wonders. You are just using English. Your mentality should be, God, manifest and make visible now that which has been finished in Christ. If you do not have the mentality that it is finished, then you will never see it manifest. Is someone learning? This is powerful. Christ alone, my cornerstone, the weak made strong. In the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. I believe, Lord. One more time. I believe, Lord. Man of God, God is not going to prosper you. Sometimes English fails us, so we speak as though he is going to do it. But what we mean is that he's going to manifest that which is already finished. When we speak as though God is doing it, forgive the frailty of our communication. But I'm educating you to see that that finished mentality is a victor's mentality. The victor's mentality. Finished. Salvation. Finished. After my discussion, we're going to make an altar call, and there will be people who will stand here. Today becomes their day of salvation, but it is not today salvation was purchased for them. When Jesus said it is finished and the legal claims of justice were fulfilled, their salvation was already credited, waiting for the appropriation of it. We're going to talk about that. But it's important for you to know, one of the anchors that produced victory, finished. Listen, this is how I think. Apostle, where is the money that will run ministry? It's finished in Christ. Honestly, it is. It's finished. So I know that it is there. I'm not trying to wander. My own assignment is to walk with the Holy Ghost through the Spirit of wisdom to draw it to my domain. When you think like that, you will know that there is always a way out. Remember the hidden wisdom of God. There is always a way out. Do you believe that? The finished work of Christ. And then you need to know furthermore who and what you have become by reason of that finished work. I'm doing a summary tonight, so I don't have the time to do an elaborate reminder. But ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus died, look up please. When Jesus rose again, the Bible told us that there was a merger between the Jew and the Gentile. And it produced, I know that we are redeemed. It's true. There is a theological construct that helps us understand that we are redeemed. But there is a dimension of that story that is not just redeeming an old man. It is a new man that came out of that transaction. The Bible calls it one new man, merging, melting together the Greek, the Jew, the Gentiles and the Jews into one new man, so that there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Are we Bible students now? So the believer is called a new creation. This is what causes a lot of conflict again in the body of Christ, because they say, okay, if you are a new creation, the meaning of that is that you never existed. Again, it's like saying Jesus died for you and you died in him. They are both correct. Are we together?
These are discussions based on context and perspective. So when you say you are redeemed, you are right. When you say you are a new creation, as though never existed, you are right. But also remember, you are tripartite. This body did not change. Are we together now? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It says the old things have gone. That scripture is very powerful. Very, very powerful. The Bible says, reckon yourself. I've taught you the word is logizomai. That means let that reality enter your consciousness so that it becomes a stronghold in your mind that you believe it so.
Yakare, 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 suyache, yakare, yakare, yakare.
Who are you in Christ? Many things. Number one, you are a child of God. You are a son of God. Son there does not mean gender. It's genderless. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. Who are you in Christ? The Bible calls you the righteousness of God in Christ. There are three elements, implications of the substitutionary sacrifice. Number one is your positional advantage. That today there is a positional reality that you are seated in Christ. It's a spiritual reality far above. Number two, the revelation of your oneness. That now you are in Christ. He called himself the vine and that you are the branch. He calls us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Are we together? There are implications, sir. He that is joined with Christ is one spirit. You are inseparable with the Spirit of God. I have a discussion on soteria, the doctrine of salvation. I hope to bring it. There are three questions I want to answer. I've seen that it's troubled the body of Christ. One is on eternal salvation. I will answer that question. Number two, the basis for salvation. And then number three, the concept of the book of life. These three things. Number... Who are you in Christ? One of the greatest revelations you need to know in Christ is that you are the beloved of God. That sounds very casual, but that's a serious statement. Beloved. Beloved. When you rest in the Father's love, it does not empower licentiousness, but it takes away fear. You cannot walk in relationship with anybody when fear is the code of operation. Not just God, even with men. Hallelujah. Have you seen a husband and a wife that the wife is like a last born? God forbid, man. I'm not talking about you. I certainly am not talking about you. Are we together? The woman fears. She's... No. That God is mighty. The fact that he's revealed himself as Father to us. The revelation of the love of God does not... You know, sometimes preachers know that God loves them, but they hate the fact that you are learning the love of God. They prefer that you learn him as an almighty, angry God who can judge. And while that is true, never turn aside from God as a righteous judge, because he is. But the greatest part of him he wants man to know is love. Not even power, love. Something happens to you when you know you are the beloved. That even when things go wrong, you don't run away from him. You run to him. The Bible says, let us therefore come boldly. Not arrogantly. Boldly. He does not encourage arrogance, but boldly. I'd rather die in my Father's hand than go somewhere else. Did you hear what I said? When you discover you mess up, you discover you do things you should not do, run to him, not away from him. Run to him. He's Abba, Pater. I've taught you, he's your God. Number five, is someone learning in church? The fifth anchor is the reality of spiritual laws. You must believe in the reality of spiritual laws, principles, and protocols. Now we're going deeper. The reality of spiritual laws, the reality of principles, and the reality of kingdom protocols. If you do not know this, and you just stop at number 1 to 4, your Christian life will propose lofty things, but you will never enter into the experience of it. You see the balance now. The reality of spiritual laws, principles, and protocols. Job 38, 33, NIV. Do you know the laws of the heavens? And can you set up God's dominion with them upon the earth? NLT. Do you know the laws of the universe? And can you use them to regulate the earth? Now please look up. There are two dimensions to spiritual realities. I have taught you in this house. Number one, there is the prophetic dimensions of spiritual realities. What people like E.W. Kenyon will call the legal side of redemption. That means realities that have been finished in Christ. According to Ephesians 1 and verse 3, that God had blessed us with all things in heavenly places in Christ. Are we together? In heavenly places in Christ. That finished dimension. The prophetic dimension of things. Then number two, the other side is the appropriation system that makes those things to manifest experientially. So the experiential manifestation of the things that are finished in Christ. Healing and health is finished in Christ, but may not yet be manifest in your life. Are we together? There are laws that convert those things. In theology, we call it the law of conversion. That word became flesh. Word became flesh. Healing became flesh. Wealth became flesh. Your breakthrough became flesh. Are we together? Your tomorrow became flesh. Where spiritual realities find their material or physical expression. Between prophetic realities, listen, and their experiential manifestation are laws, principles, and kingdom protocols. Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 6. The Lord said to Moses, "This is the thing that the Lord commanded that you should do. And if you do so, the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you." Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1. "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to do and observe all that I command you this day, that the Lord will set thee up on high, and these blessings will come upon you and overtake you." Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. "You shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. Then when you do, you make your ways prosperous." Are we together? "If ye be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land." There remained a rest. The man who taught on the Pauline epistles, the finished work of Christ, is the same apostle who said there remained a rest for the people of God. Look up please for an example. The cheapest gift we were all given is salvation. How many of you know that in spite of the fact that every man's salvation and deliverance from sin is finished in Christ, but it is not imputed experientially to every man by default. God makes it available. You make the choice. Are we together? And engage the kingdom protocol connected to appropriating it. What is the kingdom protocol? John 3:16, Romans chapter 10, 8 to 10. "Whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have life everlasting." Number two, the word is nigh thee. Even the word of faith which we preach in your heart and in your mouth. That if you confess the Lordship of Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then that salvation that's finished in Christ becomes imputed unto you. So in spite of the fact that Jesus has already paid the price, the man who dies without Jesus today has already subscribed for eternal damnation. Not because Jesus decided to victimize him. He made the living way. There is no man who is condemned eternally because of their sins. Everybody is condemned because of rejecting Jesus. Rejecting Jesus. Rejecting Jesus. Because no matter what you have done or not done, once you are alive, there is hope for you. When you hear the gospel and believe in Jesus, the Bible says there is a law in the spirit that whosoever believes in him, at that instant, you are forgiven. Three gifts you receive when you declare the lordship of Jesus over your life. Number one, the forgiveness of sin. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Number two, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then number three, you have access to the life of God, Zoe. Who is learning? Now let me tell you this. As it is for salvation, that is how it is to appropriate every other provision in the kingdom. Healing, breakthrough. Are we together? So all of these spiritual resources, the Bible calls them exceeding great and precious promises. You must learn. This is where the place of mentorship and a teaching priest comes to guide you. We present to you the promises, or we present to you the spiritual realities. Then we show you how to appropriate it in your life. The way you appropriate healing is not the same way you appropriate wealth. You see, the dynamics differ when it has to do with healing. It is the hearing of faith and the response of obedience. When it has to do with wealth, there is diligence, there's relationships, there's investments, there is giving. Are you seeing that now? That's why you must come to church and settle down to learn. Knowing the promises or the provisions is not enough. You must learn the appropriation systems. And this is why a lot of believers keep saying, I know God will do it. I know he has done it. And then they never see it. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you. The gap between the things that are finished in Christ and they are manifesting in your life, whatever kingdom protocol you do not understand, whatever principle you have not learned, I pray in the name of Jesus that beginning from this week, may the spirit of revelation bridge that gap for you. Bridge that gap for you. Through teachings, bridge that gap for you. Through books, bridge that gap for you. By direct revelation, may he bridge that gap for you. Look up. Favor is finished in Christ. But it may not work in your life because there are protocols, principles, mysteries, are we together? And operations of the Spirit that make the favor that's finished in Christ to be manifest in your life. This is the difference between any two believers. They have not only learned the existence of these things as finished in Christ, they have also learned the appropriation protocol. Look at me. How many of you know that if I come to your house, every house has a protocol, a modus operandi. Are we together? If I want to take water, say for an example, in the fridge, it's not the same dynamics as owning a television. I would need to learn how to say, open the fridge, pick whatever I need to pick. That's the dynamics. If I want to on the television, probably I'll use the remote. Are you seeing now? All of those provisions are in the house. I can know how to open the fridge and pick water, but I may not know how to put on the television because it's too complicated a technology for me. And I can sit down there with a big screen in front of me, but not knowing how to operate it. Does that mean it is not in the house? Does that mean it cannot be operated on? Someone will come in casually and pick the remote, maybe even a little child, and then operate it. The television did not reject me. It only rejected my ignorance. So favor is not running away from you. It is running away from your ignorance. Breakthrough is not running away from you. It is running away from your ignorance. Increase is not running away from you. It's the reason why you must cry for the spirit of revelation. Say, I believe. Everyone, koinonia, shout. Say, I believe in the reality of spiritual laws, of principles, and divine protocols. Say that again. Say, I believe in the reality of spiritual laws, of principles, and protocols. So on one side, confess boldly that all things are finished in Christ. but submit diligently to learn the appropriation systems that make good in your life the things that are finished in Christ. Else your Christian experience will be a plethora of frustrations. Number six. The sixth thing you must believe as an anchor is the priesthood ministry of the believer. There is no winning for you if you do not learn the priesthood ministry of the believer. And there are three dimensions to this ministry. Number one, prayer. Two, intercession. Three, fellowship with the Holy Ghost and with the brethren. You must understand the priesthood ministry. All believers in Christ are king priests. The priesthood ministry of the believer. It includes but not limited to prayer. It includes but not limited to intercession. It includes but not limited to fellowship, particularly fellowship with the Holy Ghost. There is no rising, there is no shining, there is no manifesting dominion. There is no establishing victory over demons, principalities, powers, negative forces. If you don't understand the dynamics of prayer, whoever makes you to hate prayer or disregard prayer or disrespect prayer, even if sincerely so, has made you sign a contract with defeat perpetually in your life. The priesthood ministry of the believer. It is not for prayer department members. It is not for men of God. It is not for warfare giants, if there's anything like that. Prayer is for all men, Luke 18:1. Prayer is for all men, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Prayer is for all men, Mark chapter, what now? What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that thou receivest them, and thou shalt have them, 11:24. Prayer is for all men, James chapter 5. Is any man afflicted, let him pray. You must believe in prayer. You must believe in prayer. Now there is a balance. I have told you prayer is not the only key, but prayer is a major key. And where prayer is not the key to open that door, it becomes the hand that holds the key. Did you get what I said? Not every door is opened by prayer, but prayer is involved in the opening of any door. Where prayer is not the key, it becomes the hand that holds the key. You must have a rich, alive, robust prayer life. Prayer is one of the major platforms for appropriating realities. Please listen to my teaching series, When We Pray. It's a three-part series, the latest of the prayer series. There are a number of others, School of Prayer and the rest, but you can zoom it down to When We Pray. It's the most concise discussion we've had so far on the ministry of prayer. He spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray. Say, I believe in prayer. Say, I believe in daily prayer. Say, I believe in consistent prayer. Every believer is a priest. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait till challenges and calamity drive you to the place of prayer. I've told you that prayer has at least a fourfold assignment in the life of the believer. The first and greatest assignment of prayer is for your growth and transformation. The second assignment of prayer as a platform to receive answers to prayer, to make petitions. The third assignment of prayer for creation and spiritual legislation. The fourth assignment of prayer for warfare and prophetic intercession. Prayer is not all about asking. Prayer is about growing. It's about evolving. It's about molting to a more superior version of yourself. An attack on your prayer life is a real attack. Fight it! Don't smile and say, oh, I think that things will be all right. Anything that fights your prayer life, and we must be careful, sometimes in a bid to balance this whole thing, you know, some of the excesses in the prayer ministry, we end up swinging to the other pendulum, especially intelligent people. We make it look as if prayer is for jobless people or young campus students. Once you start getting a job and you are earning, rather than prayer, we like wisdom. If you follow wisdom alone without prayer, you will be surprised. I told you principles only work when demons don't attack you. 1 + 1 = 2 if there is no demonic attack on that equation. 1 + 1 + a demonic attack, you will be surprised what it will be. Are we together? You can be close to your helper, close to a door, and yet never enter. I desire to come to you. Even I, Paul, once and again. It's not a principle that hindered him. Satan hindered him. He says a great door and an effectual is open before me, but many are the adversaries. That means the higher you rise, the stronger should be your priesthood, because it will certainly be a clash of altars. An altar does not mean something you carve with stone. It's the system that authorizes possibilities in your life. And if you do not have a prayer altar, a functional prayer altar, it will be difficult for you to rise. Are we together? Because both the kingdom of darkness, like you learned during Sound of Revival, and the kingdom of light, they are all spiritual kingdoms, but they seek to manifest their reality through earthly infrastructures. And one of the ways we import the reality of the kingdom to make it visible here is through prayer. Say, I will pray. Say, I believe in the priesthood ministry of the believer. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, every battle over your prayer life, every excuse you have been given, the Spirit of God has been cautioning you in love that you need to upgrade your prayer life. Now you are getting too busy. In the name of Jesus Christ, I fan your prayer life back to flames. I fan it back to flames. Quickly, seven. What is the seven? Are you getting blessed tonight? We're discussing, I believe, the biblical anchors that are responsible for impact, for victory, and for an unshakable Christian life, an unshakable faith in Jesus Christ. Number seven, you must believe in the power of Christ-like character. The power of manifesting Christ-like character. You will not be an excellent portrait of a refined believer if you do not believe in the power of Christ-like character. Don't just believe in miracles and signs and wonders. We may differ in everything else, but the one thing you cannot allow to be careless about is the issue of Christ-like character. The fruit of the Spirit, we call it. Galatians 5, 16 to 22. Colossians chapter 3, 1 to the end. Colossians chapter 4, 1 to the end. All of these scriptures together, they weave themselves to help guide the believer and give the coordinates of biblical character. Paul took out time in Ephesians chapter 2, 3, parts of 4 to teach believers on the excellency of a godly character. Don't just profess that it is finished in Christ and look like a demon in your behavior. Are we together? Don't just receive breakthroughs. Don't just receive money, receive whatever in Christ, and then don't fail to receive that transformation. The first assignment of the anointing is not to empower your head, is to change you to become Christ-like. Now, we come from every tribe, tongue, nation, from every family, and we have inherited all kinds of behavioral traits, many of them antichrist. When you submit to the washing of the word, and you submit to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, what happens is that he begins to change you from inside. This is where the whole idea of circumcision and the first dimension of consecration, and then what the Bible calls progressive sanctification. There are three levels of sanctification. There's instant sanctification, a reality captured in your spirit. There is progressive sanctification. Paul says, I die daily. There is the culmination of your sanctification. Are we together? Where you become like Christ in experience. Mortality swallowed up by immortality. Be careful what you learn. Be careful what you listen to, so it does not destroy your life. One of the teachings that I have, I hope I'll be able to bring it this year, is the power of right believing. It's not enough to have faith. You must be sure you have faith in the right information. You can have accurate faith in the wrong information. The power of Christ-like character. Koinonia Global, please listen to me. Our world will appreciate the excellency of the life of Christ to the degree to which they see his life and his character flowing through us. Love being the greatest, kindness, patience. Are we together? Genuine godliness. There are many wicked Christians. Two definitions or two words that should not be used. You are either wicked or you are a Christian. Unfortunately, there are those who have both. You have to give up one. I propose giving up being wicked. Are we together? There are selfish Christians. There are arrogant Christians. There are carnal Christians. It's not condemnation. You allow the Holy Ghost to work in you and build your heart. Say, I believe in the power of Christ-like character. That means you don't need to tell people I'm a Christian. You don't need to tell people I'm anointed. You don't need to tell people, well, that should not be the basis for them believing you. They see the life of Christ flowing through you. Love, patience, joy. We shouldn't see somebody who is part of Koinonia on the street. You removed your shirt and tied it, and you are fighting with someone and boxing the person. You drop your Bible on the ground. You drop your jotter on the ground. You drop your phone on the ground. You drop whatever on the ground. And you are just fighting and sweating. And then the police have to draw you together. And you are breathing and doing all of that. They say, Koinonia. I say, yes. What department? Say, prayer department. Prayer department, do you receive it? That person should pray all through that week. All through that week, till that ability dries off. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. It's important people see Jesus in your life. And let me tell you, what I'm saying is easier said than done. That's why we have to depend on the Holy Ghost. The washing of the water. It won't happen overnight. So don't be too hard on yourself. But make sure that you are contending every day. The Bible says to examine ourselves to see that we're still in the faith. To examine yourself. Is this consistent? That's the idea of repentance for a believer. The word repentance is not a word for sinners. The word repentance for a believer means realign with reference to God's standard. The fruit of the Spirit, love in all its expression, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. Do you know, if you find a man that has all of this, that man becomes irresistible. You can't run away from such a man. I've taught you that what we call good qualities as far as corporate work is concerned, people are simply looking for the fruit of the Spirit in men. And to the degree to which they find it, they can give them jobs and say, I like this person. You will be my secretary. You are nice. You are courteous. It's just a secular way of saying, I see a rich capture of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Meaning believers should be the people who they should be in a hurry to employ. Because in addition to technical skills, you so look like Jesus Christ, you can represent the company. May that be your testimony from today. The power of Christ-like character. We're almost there. Anchor number 8, the supernatural power of words. You have to believe this. The supernatural power of words. I'm showing you foundational anchors that keep your faith unshakable and birth victory perpetually in your life. You must believe in the supernatural power of words. Words as declarations, as words, as a means of conversations. Matthew 4:4, Jesus is speaking, or Satan is speaking now to Jesus. Are we together? He tempts Jesus and says, turn this stone to bread. And Jesus replies, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. I told you that there are four levels of the word of God. There is the written word. There is the revealed word as a person. There is the spoken word. There is the sent word. The dynamics of what they achieve is different in the life of the believer. Psalm 141 and verse 3. 141 and verse 3. It says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Isaiah 43 and verse 26. Isaiah 43, let's hurry up, and verse 26. It says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. It says, declare thou that thou mightest be justified. Matthew 12, I believe, and verse, that should be 36 or 37. I think it's 37. Matthew 12, 37. For by thy words, thou shalt be justified. Did you see that? Not by thy intentions, by thy words. Even in the court of law, we know this. It is by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. Final scripture for this. Ephesians chapter 4, I believe, and verse 29. This one has to do with conversations. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Hallelujah. When you are speaking, speak words that are gracious. Speak words that are kind. Speak words that are godly. And then declarations. I don't know any believer who does not believe in the creative and the supernatural power of words in manifesting divine realities. If you do not understand words, you cannot have the riches of the kingdom manifest. Let the redeemed of the Lord, the blessed of the Lord, the lifted of the Lord, the anointed of the Lord. You see that? Words. That in the name of Jesus. One of the songs that I wrote is on this. Oh, wait till you hear those songs. I'm telling you. For me to tell you a song is nice, that means that song is nice. Fire from heaven landed to my mind. Very powerful song. Very powerful song. Hallelujah. Many people believe they speak carelessly and the realm of the spirit does not hear what they are saying. No. The Bible says about ordering your conversations aright. Words are powerful. They have a creative implication. Are we together? In the name of Jesus, I am blessed. My week is blessed. You see why I speak over your life? But you must also learn to continue from where I stop. That when we share the grace, that should not be the end of your hearing. No, you speak. You get up in the morning. This is the day the Lord has made. I decree and I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm a child of God. I'm born again. The wisdom of God is at work in me. What are you doing? You are appropriating. You are making manifest. Making manifest. Always remember, making manifest. Making manifest that which has been finished in Christ. That in the name of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God convicts men to bless me, to partner with my destiny. That's what I'm doing over Sound of Revival now. In the name of Jesus. That's what I'm doing over General Assembly. By the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what I do over you. Every week without fail when I pray. When I tell you I'm praying for you, rejoice. I'm not just asking God for things. I am creatively speaking things. In the name of Jesus. It is well with you. It is well with your children. It is well with all that concerns you. In the name of Jesus, whatever you lay your hands to do prospers. You have a mind that is fruitful. No going down for you. Every week is better than the previous. In the name of Jesus Christ, your hands will not hold trouble. In the name of Jesus Christ, trouble will be far from your dwelling. Do you believe that? You are walking in abundance, moving with the speed of the Holy Ghost. You are favored. You are walking in abundance, moving with the speed of the Holy Ghost. May you hear good news this week. May you receive good things this week. In the name of Jesus Christ. If it will cause evil, God will take you away from it. If it will cause pain, my God will take you away from it. Like our dear sister, no one will steal what is yours. And anyone who is fighting what is yours, may God fight them.
Walking in abundance.
Imagine carrying that mentality. We're not talking of some Pentecostal carelessness. That you believe this. Someone will call you in the morning and say, my sister, the Lord just placed it in my heart to give you a gift. It's not to make you careless. is a system of advantage. And if you don't believe it, save Johnny. That means you will weary yourself. This is what I believe. Koinonia, glory to glory. Everyone here, glory to glory. Never a better yesterday. No, no matter how great yesterday is, your today and tomorrow will by far enter into that more and more dimension. More and more dimension. Don't tempt me to sing my song. Please sit down. We'll leave that for next week. I reject every temptation. I have the grace to reject it. In the name of Jesus. Wait patiently. On Sunday, I've not even taught the worship team. They don't know. I'm the only one, only me and God knows the song. You see that? So I have to teach them so that they sing it for us. The supernatural power of words. Do you believe that your mouth is not just for food? This right here you see is a creative mystery for manifesting possibilities. When things are not working, listen, anything your eye sees that is not consistent with the word of God, let your mouth do something about it. Did you hear what I said? Before your hands and your feet try to do something, the moment your eye sees it and it is inconsistent with the word of God, the next part of your body that should respond is your mouth. Are we together? What is this thing I'm seeing? I just received a letter. You've been sat. In the name of Jesus, I declare, my God will make a way for me. My God will make a way for me. Where there is no way, your mouth is speaking now. Though my beginning be small, my latter end will greatly increase. Try this. Walk around your house. Walk around your room. Go for a prayer walk somewhere if it's safe enough for you. In the night, where all the people disturbing you are gone, walk around your estate. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare. People look at you and say, you are worried in Nigeria. Be say, no, not Nigeria. I'm replicating something. I have seen it through the eyes of my spirit in the word, and I'm speaking it. Do you believe that?
I believe.
It's finished in Christ, but I have a responsibility of giving it frame, and I use the creative power of my words. Say, my words are powerful. Say that, Koinonia Global, my words are powerful.
One of the ways you partner with heaven to manifest realities in your life is by speaking.
Provided you can speak, it is not over. The supernatural power of words. Words in your declarations and words in your conversations. 9. The 9th anchor. The supernatural power of a transformed mind. I need not bore you on this. I have taught extensively. Listen to all the teachings that relate to transformation. A loser's mentality cannot partner with heaven to birth a victor's destiny. Your destiny in Christ is that of a victor. You are called more than a conqueror. Are we together? Wait for General Assembly and then we'll do justice to that. We'll help you pieces that scripture till you can't find failure again. Till you can't find defeat again. Till you know for a certain that you are more than a conqueror. In the name of Jesus Christ. Your mentality is powerful. You cannot rise beyond your belief systems. I told you, your official contribution to your failing in life is your mentality. The donation of your mindset is your official partnership with failure or with success. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. They limited God in the wilderness. They limited the Holy One. Can you imagine? By saying, can God make a table in the wilderness? I learned many years ago, and everybody I've seen who is able to serve the program of God, this is one of the major assignments of the teaching priest. To work in partnership with the Word of God, in partnership with the Holy Ghost and begin to do an editing, a resetting, a recalibration of your spiritual understanding, your mentality, you will always attract to your life that which is consistent with your thoughts. Hallelujah. This is powerful. A poor physical reality and a mentality of a kingdom of kingdom wealth, when they clash, that reality will change and leave you eventually a winner. A physical reality of curses and yokes physically manifesting with evidence, but you carry the mentality of one who is a winner in Christ, eventually one will bow. I'm telling you. There are certain realities that cannot exist in my mind again. They've been edited for good and the door's been closed. The supernatural power of a transformed mind. This is beyond possibility thinking. While possibility thinking is profitable, we're talking about word compliant thinking, an orientation that does not see limits. Your only limit is the voice of God. Your only limit is process. Not, you know, demonic attacks and all of those things. This is what I believe. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will put his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. That's what I believe. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. He loves me. I am his beloved. I believe there are no limits. Once I am in the will of God, I become indomitable. That there's no power in existence that sustains the ability to veto my obedience, to veto my walking in the will of God. Do you believe that? Let me give you number 10, and then we'll call it a wrap. These 10 do not reflect the entirety of the anchor beliefs, but they are sufficient enough to provide an anchor that keeps you and stops you from swaying around. You will notice that the first 4 are strongly doctrinal, and then all the other ones come to support it too. Belief systems. You find out you have a mentality that is in partnership with darkness. It's time to trust God for that re-engineering of your belief system. Your life will be a messless reflection of your beliefs. Number 10. The 10th, and for tonight and for this discussion, the final anchor is the connection between dominion and God's end time agenda. The discussion on dominion is useless until it is connected to God's end time agenda. You must believe in dominion, but you must believe in its connection to God's end time program. Many people shout dominion. Many people want dominion, but we deal with it in isolation to God's program. Dominion, like many other things in the kingdom, only find their value to the degree to which they are able to serve the threefold end time program of God, of world evangelization, the discipleship of believers, and territorial transformation. When you are talking about world evangelization, the world harvest, global harvest, or believers attaining maturity and stature, walking in victory, becoming a blessing to society, now dominion finds its relevance. Teaching dominion as an isolated spiritual subject, disconnected from kingdom come and God's program, is dangerous, because you will be replicating the lust of Nimrod Kush. Every time you teach dominion and it is not in partnership with kingdom come, you will be raising a rebellious people who are hungry for power but do not understand the purpose connected to it. It is dangerous to teach on the dynamics of dominion and not connected to kingdom come and not connected to purpose? Why do you want wealth? Why do you want riches? Why do you want notoriety? Why do you want fame? Why do you want to be a celebrity? Why do you want to rise? Why do you want anointing? All of those concepts are useless in themselves until you understand what they serve. Is someone learning? Remember, I taught you during my birthday, broadcast that the concept of value in the kingdom, nothing in itself has intrinsic or independent value. Everything in the kingdom derives its value to the degree to which it is connected to God's program. And that God's end time program is tripartite in its structure. Number one, a program to the unbelieving world. We call it evangelism or world global missions. Number two, maturity and stature among believers through discipleship. And then number three, transforming territories. Transforming territories. God desires that individuals and territories will be transformed by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Today I can pray and say, Father, fresh fire, fresh anointing. And God knows, I don't need it for a name. I need it because there is more to be done for the kingdom. There are more lands to conquer. There are sick bodies. There are mysterious, devilish diseases being fabricated from hell that right now doctors cannot even respond to it. So we need greater weights and measures of the anointing. Not for self-aggrandizement. Are we together? So that we can serve the program of God. By the time we are saying, Lord, thank you for the much you have brought. But we thank you because you are sending rain, financial rain again. It's not because you independently want to be a billionaire. What is heaven's business with your lust of wanting to be a billionaire? Is that you need those billions because there is much to be done for the kingdom. And that you need to be efficient in health and comfort while serving the program of God. Is somebody learning? So nothing is requested for in the bid to fulfill lust. When you are praying and trusting God, receiving impartations, it is because your dominion is connected to God's agenda. We're about to pray. Tonight has been a stretch. The anchors. Number one, you must believe in the existence and the supremacy of God. God the Father Almighty and Jesus his Son. Number two, you must believe in the supremacy and the integrity of Scripture, making it final authority in your life, in all things and over all matters. Number three, you must believe in the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit as the believer's advantage. Number four, you must believe in the finished work of Christ and the consequent implication of that as far as the believer's identity is concerned. Who you have become today by reason of what Christ has done. Number five, you must believe in the reality of spiritual laws, principles, and divine protocols as the appropriation systems that convert these finished realities to become manifest experientially. Number six, you must believe in the priesthood ministry of the believer, the ministry of prayer, the ministry of prophetic intercession, and fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Number seven, you must believe in the power and the value of Christ-like character in being a witness to your world. The fruit of the Spirit, a rich capture of the nature of Christ, flowing from you like a river and bringing healing to many and turning many hearts to Jesus. Number eight, you must believe in the supernatural power of words, that your words are not mere speakings, that your conversations are not mere discussions, that God has put within you the power to work in partnership with his word and manifest possibilities or manifest destruction. Number nine, you must believe in the supernatural power of a transformed, reformed, superior belief system, that your possibilities in life will become so limited If your mind does not grow, if your mind does not transit to become word compliant, as far as your convictions and your mentality is concerned. Number 10, you must believe in dominion, but not in isolation. It must be in connection to God's end time program. Ladies and gentlemen, show me a believer who pays the price in righteousness to anchor his life on these truths among many others. I show you one whose faith will remain unshakable. I show you one whose victory will be never-ending victory. Please rise up, everybody. You surround me with many victories. Jehovah Nissi, you're my banner. You go before me, you fight my battles. Jehovah Nissi. One more time. You surround me with many victories. Jehovah Nissi, you're my banner. You go before me, you fight my battle. Jehovah Nissi. We're only going to pray one prayer tonight. Father, I receive grace to peg my life on these truths. I receive grace. Every one of these truths that is still shaking your life, your convictions therein is not yet strong. I'd like you to pray for grace. Lift your voice and pray. I believe. I believe. Let that be your truth. Let that be your conviction. Let that be the anchor of your life. God Almighty, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the laws of the kingdom, priesthood. Lift your voice and pray. Please pray. That will be your only prayer tonight. Shamalanta sabragate melaka paratus yata. When you say you are a Christian, you're not just saying it because you came to respond to an altar call, but you have been so discipled to peg your life around this. These are the immovables in your life. They keep your faith unshakable. And then at the same time, they birth victory in ever increasing proportions. It's impossible to be without dominion if you walk in keeping with this. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Let me your attention very quickly. We're out of time. Let me make the altar call. Gives me joy every week to lead many to Jesus. We started our discussion by talking about believing in God. If you don't believe in God, you are not a Christian. You may be a sincere person, but you are not a Christian. A Christian is not one who hangs around God. A Christian is not one who holds a Bible. A Christian is not one who has a Christian name. A Christian is not one who listens to a Christian preacher. A Christian is one who has willingly heard the gospel, believed, and placed his faith on Jesus Christ. Wherever you are, I want to give you an opportunity for the next 1 minute very quickly. Perhaps you are here. Let's minimize movement. We're already done. You are in this place and you're saying, Apostle, for everything you said, that number one, that number two, that number three, I have no idea what you've spoken about. I've been around the things of God. I don't consider myself to be a bad person, but I cannot say for certain that I've made my ways right with God. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his then only begotten son, that whosoever, and that includes you. Remember, I told you these things are finished in Christ, but you must engage to make good in your life that which has been finished in Christ. I'll count 1 to 10 or 1 to 5 for sake of time. I'd like you to run, leave your seat and join this, my wonderful friend. He's first, but he should not be the only one. As I count 1 to 5, please leave your seat. You want to give your life to Jesus, or you want to rededicate your life, please make haste. If you're coming from outside, make that quick. If you are not able to come in, you can move to your LED screens. For those of you who are across the overflow, Zaria and all our expressions, now is your time to respond to the altar call. You can move to the front of your screen. They are coming. Are you celebrating Jesus for them? 1, 2, God bless you. Thank you for not being ashamed of Jesus. Come.
He'll always give you a new beginning. Don't mind who is looking at you. Three, come. He's inviting you to a feast of fat things. Your destiny depends on it. Your becoming depends on it. Four, come. Come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. They are coming. Let's celebrate them. God bless you. Final count, five. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap for these ones. If you are still joining them, please come quickly. Come quickly. Hallelujah. My dear brothers and my sisters, I want to say thank you. On behalf of Jesus, the one we've spent all this time talking about, I want to thank you for making this noble decision. This issue of Jesus is a very serious issue. It's not a preacher's issue. It's not a church issue. Your eternal destiny depends on it. And I want to salute you and thank you for the boldness and the courage to walk out here. Hallelujah. For those who are following online in Zaria, our expressions across the globe, all our viewing centers, please make sure if you need to make that call, walk out, come and stand right in front of the altar or the screen that is before you. Can I request that you lift your right hand just high above your head as a sign of surrender to this Jesus? Say after me, Lord Jesus, tonight I desire a relationship with you. I love you with all my heart. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I believe that from today, the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. I am a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. I bless you with the blessings of priesthood, the blessings of heaven, and I pray for you from the depth of my heart, the grace to live the victorious Christian life. Let it be released upon you. I declare your sins forgiven, and I pray for you that from tonight you go forward ever and backward never. For it is in Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please look to my right. There are counselors waving the placard. They are trained to have a word and a quick prayer with you. You'll be back to your seat. Nothing embarrassing. They love you. And they'll just have a quick prayer. Thereafter, you are back to your seat. Let's honor them as they go. God bless you, sirs. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We're done. Please make sure again, I remind you, on Sound of Revival, let's begin the publicity in mass, particularly for our family in US and Canada. Of course, it's for all of us, but make sure that you not only get the bills across, but let as many who need to be part of it, should there be spaces available, and then make sure you pray all of the various groups. Make sure when you are praying, you include this in your prayer. We're trusting God for a great time. Praise the name of the Lord. I declare the blessing of the Lord upon you. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Let this be a fruitful week for you. Amen. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Amen. Because you are the righteous, I declare that it is well with you. Amen. Well with your children. Amen. Well with your businesses. Amen. Nothing dies in your hands. Amen. Nothing depletes in your hands. Amen. Testimonies this week. Amen. Victory for you this week. Amen. Liftings for you this week. Good news for you this week in the name of Jesus Christ. If at all you will cry, let it be tears of joy. Sorrow is far from your life. I call you the beloved of God. Fear dies from your life. Low self-esteem dies from your life. Inferiority dies from your life. The Lord will surround you with good people. May angels be on assignment over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. You will be in a hurry to testify on Sunday because you will be the faithfulness of God throughout this week. Your week is blessed. Every hour, every minute, every day is blessed. Go and prosper. In Jesus' name we pray. Together, let's share the grace in fellowship, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen, surely. All the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord, Amen. Hug 10 people, tell them you are victorious, and then see you on Sunday. God bless you.
I believe, Lord, I